G'day, trendsetters. Welcome to episode 750 of the Trainsmove podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website, trainsmove.com, or send me through an email, tim@trainsmove.com. Now, did you guys get to watch 70.3 Oceanside 2 days ago now? It was good racing, but it was horrible coverage of it, and even worse commentating. A few things have come into my head from it. Actually, more than a few things. I stayed up to watch it because I was pretty excited for this event. And I also knocked around watching the female Paris-Roubaix, which, again, good racing. I generally don't watch Ironman events with the commentary on. I generally have music playing. I'm generally on my bike, or I'm on the treadmill, or I'm lifting, you know, in the weight room, knocking around there. They knew a half a dozen athletes racing. They had no idea who half those people were, and some of I found the commentary pretty poor, and I don't like to bag on it all because we don't pay for it, and they are trying, and I can tell they're trying, but the homework those commentators made was, let's watch Lionel and Sam Long's YouTube channel, and I think we're good to go. That's what it felt like to me. But that aside, it seems to be everyone that I've spoken to about it was shocked, bar me, when it came to Lionel Sanders. I was not surprised at all he won that event, and I'm not surprised at all by his latest training videos that he puts on YouTube. That this is the first time I can really remember that he's doing a lot of the stuff correct. This is the first time since 2017 when he came second at Kona that we're on here. This is Lionel's year. And if he continues down this path, which he's looking at my watch now, he's probably overdue to make a radical change in everything. And then he would just go back to, you know, take a couple of backward steps. But if he doesn't do that, and if he continues on the path, now you just got to go back to the videos. I forget what one that I started thinking, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, no, he's doing that right too. There's a couple of things I think everyone thinks they can coach Lionel because of how many mistakes we watch him do on YouTube, but if it continues down this path, he's a red hot favorite, has to be for Kona, has to be. Anyway, but it was good racing. It's a good start. Anyway, today's question, which I've just got to bring up, comes from Zach, who I coach, which makes him super cool. And you too could be super cool like Zach by sending in your training, racing, nutrition, whatever questions it is. Send them on through to tim@trainsmove.com. Excuse me. He writes, not sure the poker generally. I'm just skipping a little bit here. Since I'm doing my first Ironman, I am wondering how you would advise me to take on nutrition. For example, how much carbs, salt, protein, protein, maybe fluids per hour while racing. How important is carb loading before race to make sure that you're stocked well enough on the race? I want to make sure that the body muscles make it through the race without feeling empty or complete shutdown. I'm sure this happens due to not taking correct nutrition due to the race, and not taking in enough per hour. to the event during the race. As we get closer to, as we get, easy for me to read, as we get closer, if you have any, something your practice leading into an Ironman, I definitely would like to try it, since I have never taken in that much through carbs and sports drinks. How to make sure I can handle it right. So a few things. You said you don't want to feel like you're empty and completely shut down. Chances are that's going to happen. It happens to just about every single person, for, including pros, because we're not really designed to swim 3.8Ks, cycle 180Ks, and run a bloody marathon straight after that. We're just not really designed for all that. So, you're right. Getting enough carbohydrates per hour is a massive contributor to making sure you're able to race that distance to your full potential. Muscle fatigue and muscle breakdown and breakdown of your technique is another. I heard once Brett Sutton talk about what he considers tough is being able to push through physical exhaustion while not breaking normal technique. And that's easier said than done. But let me answer some questions for you, just since that's what you want. We can really overcomplicate things when it comes to nutrition for race day, leading into race day and testing it. And that whole ballpark, I think a lot of people get wrong. I think a lot of people wait till they're too close to their big race to start testing nutrition. And even then, they're not testing it. They test it in questionable circumstances, I guess, and I'll go through that in a second. And then they do all this training, they spend all this money for this race, then just to go out on race day and they do something completely different that they haven't done before. I know I shouldn't give names or stories too close, but bugger it. Let's do some crap. I used to be part of the 17 Hours Triathlon Age Group team. I was more of a mascot more than anything. That's what I called myself. Hang on. Bloody. Sorry about that. Taking a drink for the working class man. I was their first member in their team. And it was a good team. I was by far their weakest link, but they kept me around. That's why I called myself more of a mascot. Anyway, I was doing an Ironman with the owner, Wayne. And I think it was the day before. We're together, we're chatting. Might have been at the party, like the Carbo night thing. And he said he's talking about Red Bull. Oh, I've never had it, but I'll give it a go. I generally don't have problems. And he was going to try taking a can of Red Bull, because that's what I said I had to. I take a can of Red Bull just before the swim starts. And he was going to try it, and I said, maybe you shouldn't, because you should try it out. Oh, no, I'll be fine. I just always remember that, thinking, it's too close to race day for this. Anyway, he had a horrible race, but it wasn't because of that. I think it was more the fact he didn't train for it. Anyway, so we can overcomplicate things when it comes to nutrition, and we can not do it the smartest. So, for instance, a couple of golden rules. A very generic rule, which is, to me, I heard it. It made sense to me years ago. This is, they were talking about this in the 90s that I know of. So it was probably before that, where you take 1 gram of carb per kilo of body weight per hour. That's a general ballpark. And as we do more research and we know a lot more about, how the body reacts to all sorts of different things, I still think that's pretty bloody close, that number. So in general, if you're taking between 60 and 90 grams of carbs per hour, you're generally in a safer zone. Depending on how hot or how cooler the day is, if it's going to be cooler, you won't need as many. If it's hotter, you'll probably need more. I know there's a lot of people very promoting carbs over 90 grams of carbs per hour. Like, you know, it takes 120 grams of carbs per hour. It takes 140 grams of carbs. There's a lot of carbs there. And some research has come out in recent months where they can't prove you're oxidizing that. That it's you may not be getting, you know, any issues from that amount of carbs per hour, but it's there's no proof that you're actually oxidating it. And they can prove up to 90 grams for most people, but after when they start talking about 100, 120, they can't find the proof. And it could be just sitting there. So playing it safe, you also have on the ballpark, a lot of races have been ruined by overfeeding than underfueling. So, and what I mean by that is taking gels and a sports drink at the same time can have a major recipe for disaster. It could just ruin your race a treat. It's just too much the concentration is just too hard. I like to keep things really, really, really simple. And the more I learn about all this, the more I keep it even more simpler. So I look back at my last Ironman, and in the middle of an Ironman, I had a Red Bull and a killer python snake. That's more for a mental break than anything, but that's completely gone from my nutrition plan these days. I keep it very, very simple. If it's going to be a warm day, I start off at this. The goal is to take 90 grams of carbs per hour on the bike and on the run, all through my homemade gels. I make the gels completely by myself. And for the people that don't know, I have the recipe on the Trainsmove website. So all you have to do, if you want to make your own gels, you go to trainsmove.com. Up on the top there, it says resources. You click on that. You go down to nutrition thing, and under the headline nutrition, it will have something on the lines of homemade gels. You click on that, it will give you the recipe of it and what and how you can mix and match and change all that around to best suit you and your needs. On top of that, I will also take two salt sticks or salt tablets every hour. Excuse me, on the bike and again on the run. From that point of view, I start working my way backwards. So, and I'll just drink water, pure water for the entire time. And I will take a mouthful of gel every 20 minutes. So I'm getting, I've worked it out in my, you know, I've calculated it all. Take a gel every 20 minutes. You've got to drink water the entire time. You can't be mucking around. You can't just drink a whole lot of water and forget to gel. From the moment I get on that bike, until the moment I cross that finishing line, I'm only drinking water, and I'm taking gels every 20 minutes, which is concentrated, which I take 20 every 20 minutes, three times an hour, which is 90 grams every for the 70.3. I was taking halfway on the bike a caffeinated gel from the course, one of the Morton caffeinated gels, and then halfway on the run I was taking a caffeinated gel. For Ironman, I plan to take a caffeinated gel every hour and 20 minutes. A caffeinated gel. Every other gel will come straight from my own homemade gel stash. That's my game plan. If the weather's cooler, I'm going to downgrade down the amount of carbs per hour because I'm just probably not going to need it. If it's really, really cool, I'm just going to, I'll hang around 60 grams of carbs per hour or 70 grams. That's going to be a decision I'll make as I get closer. But if it's just a normal warmish day, 90 grams of carbs, I'm not going to be going over that. Now, so that's game plan for me on race day. So you got to work your way back from there. So how am I going to test all this? Well, I'm going to be doing my long bike rides. You've got that. But testing it during a long bike ride. So for instance, if my power is, let's call it, your average power is going to be at 75% of FTP for an Ironman, the ballpark figure. So if I'm racing at 75% of FTP for my Ironman, I've got to work my way back. So going out on a 6-hour long bike ride and having an average FTP, an average power of 65% of FTP, well, trialing race day nutrition is probably not, you know, it means bugger all on that ride. You can use it throughout the ride for sure, but timing of that and the amount of carbs per hour, it's probably a wild overkill. So now you've got to start adding race intervals into it. So for instance, you start off, you work your way back. So 3 weeks out, you might be doing 6-hour bike ride with 4 times 40 minutes at race power with 5 minutes easy in between. Perfect session to be just triple checking everything's working all right when it comes to nutrition. You might even say, right, I'm going to take it instead of taking a gel every 20 minutes, I'm going to start taking it every 17 minutes. And instead of riding at 75% of FTP, I might ride at 80% of FTP, thereabouts. Just giving good numbers. So the intensity is higher and the amount of carbs per hour is a little bit higher. So if you can handle that, you can handle everything. So you go 4 weeks prior to that. So you might be doing 4 times 30 minutes at FTP. And you just slowly work your way back from there. But you want to be testing race day nutrition under load. So another one I used to like to give athletes is hill repeats. If they've got a nice, good, solid hill that could be 1, 2, 3 Ks long, and just getting them to doing hill repeats on that, and then taking their race day nutrition as time, their power is going to be significantly higher than race day nutrition because they're fighting gravity, and they're just able to. If you can handle that right, well, then you can start adding it into more race day intensity stuff. So I do have a couple of race plans, nutrition plans on my website that's been given to me from Alan Pittman. Then I had a few nutritionists write plans for me. One was a waste of money, and then one was pretty good, and then I was able to combine some. I took Alan Pittman's originally and as a starting point, and then I look at that now, I think it's probably a bit overcomplicated now, but I changed some things around. I was working with a lady in the UK, hers was okay, pretty good, but as for carb loading in the lead up, I think it's pretty important. It's not the night before, it's 2 days before. So you don't want to be overdoing it, but it really is. You want to have all your glycogen stores, you know, completely stored up. So for instance, you don't need to go over the top. It'd be something like having rice with all your meals, with some sort of meat, meat or chicken or fish or something, a little bit of fatty, some vegetables into it. So again, we don't need to overcomplicate this. Your lunch might be, chicken, cup of rice, but a cup of vegetables. And you're basically repeating that for lunch, dinner, For the 2 days leading into the race, you can swap it out so you don't need just to eat chicken, fish, some sort of meat with a bit of fatty to it. Breakfast, can't beat oatmeal or something like that for breakfast. And also, just add a little bit of extra salt into those meals as well. With the reduction of training and keeping those meals about the same, your glycogen stores should be all good to go. And then of a morning, for myself, this most definitely doesn't work for a lot of other people. And if you're going to do this, you must really test this. For me, I like to get from the moment I wake up to the moment I start the race, I like to have 1,000 calories in the body already for that morning. So for instance, I'll wake up, I used to have a shaker of Enduro Optimizer, three hours out from Ironman. I'd wake up, I'd have Enduro Optimizer with 6 scoops of Enduro into it, and then an hour, I would sip on a sports drink. 2 hours before race day, I'll have like jam on toast. Then I'll keep sipping on a sports drink until I get to 1 hour before race day. And now I'm sipping only on water, and I'll sip on water up until about 10 minutes before race day. And then I'll start, and then I'll grab a 250ml can of Red Bull. I'll inhale that, and then we're off to the races. We're good to go. And I once I got smashed once on a forum on that, and I still stand behind it. It's not. I know many athletes that do that, and it's wildly successful, including pros. But don't get caught up with the 120 grams carbs per hour. What those athletes, the amount of energy it takes to do an Ironman at 300 watts versus it's going to take to do 200 watts, they're really, really different. And again, there's some studies and evidence that have come out saying that they can't find how they're oxidating 120, 130, 140 grams of carbs per hour. So just play it safe. Anyway, if you guys have any other questions, training, racing, nutrition, send them on through to tim@trainsmooth.com. Until next episode, hooroo.